Blog Talk Radio.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Nothing But Elijah. This is Sister Akilah Ali. I like to encourage everyone to listen to CRO, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as they stream live every Sunday and Wednesday. Sundays at 2:30 and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. This, of course, is not the most pleasant day, but it's a day that I wanted to take the time to remember our dear brother, Munir Muhammad, co-founder and business manager of CRO. And I will be playing an audio from Brother Munir Muhammad in his honor, just because I feel that it is appropriate to do. I want to bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in person as Master for our Muhammad, and that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is truly his last and greatest messenger. I greet everyone again in nation's greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and listen to our dear brother, Munir Muhammad, as he does what he did so wonderfully, which was to introduce those of us who may have known and those of us who did not know to our last and greatest messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome to Sci2. I'm Mark Sims. Now we're going to hear a television interview I conducted with Munir Muhammad. And we're going to discuss the same question, how to stop crime and murders in black neighborhoods. And can the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad help save our communities?
Okay. First question I'd like to ask you is that, Mr. Muhammad, why don't black people give Elijah Muhammad credit for the great work he has done?
You know, brother, that's a very good question that you ask. I'm inclined to believe, Mark, that subliminally, Caucasian people have had such an effect on us that it's an insult, but just as you train dogs, our people have been trained a negative thing when it comes to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So when his name is brought up, automatically there's a hatred, because the Caucasian has already saw that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had the solution to our problem. He couldn't be broken because they didn't control him. They didn't control anything. I read an FBI report on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And these skilled investigators and people who come up with dirt and different things to slander you, nothing that they did could alter the progress of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's a lesson in itself that the so-called American Negro leaders should take a look at. And I say this with respect. I mean, just look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's success. They brought everything to him. They said that he taught hate. They tried to slander him by saying that he had teenage wives. You know, I mean, this is the slander that they did. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't address them, period. Didn't pay them any attention. They accused him of having Malcolm X assassinated, who so-called American Negroes claim they love, you know. And I say this, claim they love, because our people, you know, only remember what you did yesterday. So to show you that they don't know anything about Malcolm, because if they investigated, even those who tell me, and let me say this since you asked me this question. The next time you tell someone you read the autobiography of Malcolm and that's what inspired you and you don't love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's something wrong, even though there was a slant on the book. Let me tell you why. There are people who said that Malcolm read everything in the library. You know, he learned how to do things in jail. But yet and still, in the same book, they gave him credit for being a talented brother coming up, you know, because remember the school teacher who said, Malcolm, you shouldn't want to be a lawyer. So which is it? Did he learn how to read before he went in? Was he an honor student before he went in, or did he become an honor student while he was in? See, the inconsistency there. It was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching that gave him direction. Otherwise, you heard him just criticizing Larry Hoover, didn't you? They said he couldn't be reformed. See, Negroes can't make up their mind. Even a Negro congressman, my congressman, incidentally, a Negro congressman, you know, whatever ward I am out, so I won't use the Negro's name, but that's the way he functions as a Negro. I've heard him give credit to Malcolm X, but I also heard him on television condemning brothers and sisters trying to get together in the peace summit. So I'm saying the inconsistencies, and our people don't have a mirror to see themselves. This is why the historical record is so important, my dear brothers, because it's the thing with Malcolm, it's convenient. All the Negro actors, all the Negro politicians, and this is what I'm referring to, those who claim. See, you can't love Malcolm and not love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't care who you are, because he's the one who made Malcolm. And he turned out Malcolms by the tens of thousands. And we can prove it if you make us, you know. And I say this with the deepest respect, brother. We know that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is superior because we see everyone emulating it today. Whoever come up with any kind of solutions or successful programs, we can show you where they got it from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the government recognizes that, too. This is why they look and they listen. They say, well, they're not quite with Muhammad yet. So we know we still have time. Yes, sir.
Get our next question, okay? Next question is, what makes the Messenger's teaching so special?
You know, that's a good question. You've heard even the children by the first family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad slander him and say, may God forgive him for his sins. If that's what sinning is, we all should be lucky as to live the life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. His teaching was special because what the whole world had been looking for was received by him. Everyone had been expecting God to come. Now, when I say this, there are Negroes who would smirk and say they believe that God is a man. Well, I don't know what you believe he was, but I know he was a man. I'm going past belief, you know. Belief is just something that one has and it hasn't been proven. Well, the facts are that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met with God in person. How do I know that? I live on the earth. I examine what goes on in the world. I hear and I see. I have not heard anything introduced by white or black or whatever you want to refer to our people that's superior to the knowledge that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has presented us. The man gave us wisdom in the beginning of time in the creation of God. Showed us. I mean, to really put in there, can you imagine that a man can take you to the doorway to give you a vision of how the whole world was begun, how God made himself. Now, you laugh at that because you don't know. Just because you don't know, then it couldn't have happened. You understand? You take a positive and make it into a negative and say, well, God didn't raise me up, so why would he raise someone else up? You understand what I'm saying? See, it's silly. But you can't handcuff the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. Look, brother, for years that man offered anybody who can prove one word that he taught a lie, that he would give them $10,000 every hour. In fact, then he told them, said, look, say you're so small, and say the white man don't dare stand up here and argue with him because you have to get a telescope to find him, he's so small into the knowledge. Now here's a man that challenged the Caucasian. Every day. Now, the people that we believe in. Now, no one has done that, brother and sisters. And see, and so the real disrespect that they give the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they think they're giving him a title. My poor brothers and sisters, let me say this to you, because I know you get annoyed with me when I say these things to you, but, you know, Marcus Garvey was a good man. We love what Marcus Garvey tried to do. you know. But see, listen, Marcus Garvey told you, even in New York City, I think it was in the early 1918 at a rally, that the new teachings that would be given, they was asking him what would his program be, and I think he would use the Holy Quran as the foundation, and it would be Islam. A messenger would come. Now, you, those of you who love Marcus Garvey, go find that speech he did in New York City, and I think about 1928, I think it was. I don't know. It's one of those dates, but I'm sure you can find it if you look for it. My point is, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met and walked with whom he deemed to be God in person. Now, if you don't believe it, then you should have something superior. Now, I haven't heard anything superior, and especially every time I think about his son, people say we're too hard on his son. Brother and sister, you haven't seen anything. When God finished with that son, I wouldn't want to be in his shape, a man who has condemned his father. I've made a promise that I was going to refrain from even calling his name. But you know the one who was outside the nation all those years and was given a gold mine, but he didn't want it. But now all of a sudden he's the great leader of the Muslims, you know. But please, it's hard for me to keep a straight face when I bring up that subject. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the winner, and they can say what they will about him. But if he did meet with God, then I want to know who he was.
Okay.
But he's special because he met with God, to answer your question.
Why are people, this is a two-part question, why are people afraid of Islam, and how can black people benefit from the teachings of the Most High Elijah Muhammad?
Well, first of all, our people are afraid of Islam as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They're not afraid about the convenient Islam, as I call it, the one that black Muslims are not respected by white Muslims. They don't know that kind. You see, brother, in Somalia, many of those people are Muslims, okay? In black Africa, many of those brothers are Muslims. But they have been conditioned to look for something up in the sky to help them. They can recite the Holy Quran verbatim, you know. But they don't have anything to eat. They have resources in their country, and someone comes in under the cover of darkness. I mean, some of our good brothers have things like cocoa, but you can't buy any hot chocolate over there. They have rubber, but you can't get a flat tire fixed. You know, something wrong. The wealth is exploited by others, but they got Islam. The Islam that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives you removes fear instantly. You can't be a coward in this operation. You understand? Not with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching. Maybe another Islam that tell you to turn the cheek, the other cheek, which some of these are telling you, and wait on your pie in the sky. We don't believe in that. We believe in making heaven while we live, you see. So this Islam is scary because there's a people who have been conditioned to be dependent. See, this eliminates dependency except on God, you know. So I'm saying the fear has been embedded in us when we were brought here over four centuries ago. You understand? But it didn't just start with that process. The rebellion started long before there, but I know in this audience that we have today, as far back as they go, is 6,000 years, and I certainly wouldn't want to strain their brains to go back any further.
Last question. Can the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stop the gangbanging, the killing, and the crime?
Instantly. And let me tell you how it can do that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in fact, I want to say Dr. Ben Chavers did a great teaching at Mount Meriam recently, and he told about his sojourn in prison and how they continued to move him around from different prisons to keep him from organizing. Now, we wrote of him in Muhammad Speak during that time as the Wilmington 10, and he was a strong fighter, you know, trying to desegregate schools. Now, as you know, he's the head of the NAACP. The point is that here was a brother. Excuse me. Hello. I wanted to digress a moment because what was the question? Rephrase the question.
Can the message of teaching stop the gangbanging, the crime, and the killing in black neighborhoods?
Yes, it can, Mark. Instantly. And the reason it can stop it because it gives life to a mentally dead people. to be gang banging and killing your own self is like committing suicide. We know that that's a violation of God's law, to kill oneself. You see, but when you don't know self, then you don't respect self. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching bring you instant respect of self because you're kin to the Creator, the one who made these things happen, the one who originated the heavens and the earth. You are from that. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives you an instant connection to God himself, shows you your power and your value, so it eliminates death. You don't want to be associated with death when this teaching gets you. And to show you, and to prove it, I should say, he was able to go into the prisons of America. And I began to use Ben Chambers, who was at the Wilmington 10, who's now the head of the NAACP. Most people don't know of his history, but by us having the record, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him a forum, and that organization a forum from prison. Wrote about him, the only major newspaper that was willing to carry their stories. And that's another thing that black people should be ashamed of themselves. Just as Ben Chavis acknowledged what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had done for him, and he said, even though it's 30 years late, I want to pay tribute to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because the inspiration and motivation that they got, even though there was a fear, still, we can't go to Muhammad, because they had been taught and trained to become integrationists, but not integrate with yourself, not to go and become subjugated under the slave mentality that you want to simulate with someone else, a dominant power. As the first thing that the Imam did when he opened up the door for white people to come into the nation. And instead of our people realizing their superiority, they began to want to be like the master, you know. And there again, they gave up of themselves, so they were stunted in their growth. And I submit to you respectfully, the average Muslim under that man has gone into death and they don't even know it. And the Holy Quran promises you that. For those who reject our messages, we lead you step by step to destruction from which you know not. See, they don't have the power to go in and do nothing. People don't even listen to them, you know. So it's the thing is stagnating. The Imam used to do a subject talking about turning water into wine, something to that effect, and he gave the parable that there was no life in everybody else's teaching. When he first came on the scene, he came on running with this new teaching, that after about 6-7 months, everyone began to question, what was he really doing? So I'm saying, he said if you be around for 10 years, he would show you signs like you never saw. And every week, he had to begin to change the organization's title because it was going downhill. He didn't even see it. And many of my brothers and sisters who we were willing to die for as Muslims, when we see them now, they know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had power and gave them instant power. In his teaching, it gave them power. But they're so quick to go in another direction, and they, even though they're in hell, rather than to pick up and say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was right, they'd rather die and commit suicide. So they've gone back into the death. But whereas in the prisons, the people who have been downtrodden and suffering for so long, when they hear the messenger's teaching in its undiluted form, it wakes them up right away because they know that something was wrong. You understand? But those who are inside, you know, here to have access to this teaching on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't do the same for them because they think they know. They're proud. You understand? So, brother, I know we started off saying, well, the teaching, you know, stop the drugs. It'll stop anything of death. But you have to be willing to hear it, you know, to answer your question. And I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, by being among us and present, he gave us a strength that we had never experienced before. We knew he could fight those battles. But even though we have strong fighters today, you know, but it's very difficult for us to give our whole hope and aspiration into that man, because as long as the man is among us, you know, it's a constant test for that man, you know. Will he change tomorrow, you know? There's always second guessing, you know. So this is what makes the job difficult for a present day warrior, you know, because the people, you know, as they say, when you're living, you know, you're still making history, so, you know, you're subject to mistakes, you know. But once the history is sealed, then we can examine it and make it a matter of record as not to repeat those same mistakes, if you understand what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
thank you for buying and listening to this tape. Power tape number one, how to stop black crime and murders in your neighborhood. We're joined today with Munir Muhammad. Munir Muhammad is from Crow. He's the business manager of Crow, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Welcome, Mr. Muhammad, to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
All right, sir. Very briefly, just tell the listeners, people listening to this audio cassette, what is CROW?
CROW is an acronym which stands for the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, an organization that was founded on the proposition that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was and is the last messenger of Allah, and our work is to make sure his accomplishments and ideas are remembered. And consequently, this is where we come up with the idea of CROW.
How long has CROW been in existence?
Well, CROW actually was conceived in 1986, in the fall of 1986. But for our incorporation purposes, we actually started the organization in 1987 of January 1st as of a full commitment. So we would say it began in 1987, which we are coming up on our 7th year anniversary.
And once again, what is the purpose of CROW for, you know, for people
who
know?
Well, actually, we felt that CROW was necessary because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who in our opinion is the last messenger of Allah, and for 44 years he demonstrated that by actions and his words. So what we felt when he was no longer present among us, our people began to, you know, take another look. And they were helped, of course, by the one who took over the leadership, which was his son, to see him in less than favorable position. And so we felt that those of us who benefited from his great wisdom and knowledge, that it was only befitting that we picked him up once again and reintroduced him to let those people who had not had an opportunity to see him, to know him through this new generation, as I would say, with film, videotapes, audios, and what have you. And it began to grow even more, so now we are faced to try and learn even more how to present his teachings as he presented them.
When you say new generation, are you specifically meaning people born in the past 20, 30 years?
Well, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hasn't been among us for 19 years now. And the young people now who seem to be taking over, whether it's killing or destroying themselves or whatever they're doing, we noticed that they don't have respect for present leadership, and we believe this is because they did not have an opportunity to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his true light. Those who loved and respected him were suppressed, so they were no longer able to acknowledge his greatness. In fact, his books were banned and his tapes were banned, and everything was destroyed with the aid of the government. So it was no way of them seeing him. So they heard about him, but they heard about him so sparingly. Even the Muslims who claimed that they loved him once had stopped acknowledging him for fear of embarrassment and loss of property, loss of life even. So he was put on the back burner.
Excellent.
And so the young people today who get an opportunity to see him now are so fascinated with him. They want to know, where is this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? And many are sad that they didn't meet him, but they're happy because we provided a forum for them to see him once again.
Great. How long, Mr. Muhammad, let me ask you a personal question. How long have you lived in the city of Chicago?
I've lived in the city of Chicago since 1968, actually living.
Mm-hmm.
My first arrival in Chicago was in 1959. For a summer vacation, and I fell in love with Chicago. Little did I know why I had fallen in love with it, but I feel because of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, and you know, that I was destined to live here.
So how were you, who introduced you to the messenger's teachings?
It was a friend of mine whose name was Clarence Ninex. It's the first person that actually told me in substance a way about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. But I had heard it from a brother by the name of John Paul, we used to call him, just mentioned the Muslims. He didn't mention the Honorable Elijah Muhammad per se, but it was actually Clarence Ninex who I would say is responsible for my awakening.
This in 1968?
No, that was actually in 1972.
You know. So you don't mind me asking, how old were you in 1972?
In 1972, I was 22 years old.
So you were 22 So you probably were a young man at that time,
done
a few things, but not going to your personal background. What made you want to, you know, come into this teaching at 22?
Well, it was something, brother, that it was truth that I heard, and it was so overwhelming. You know, see, I went to the mosque, and to go to the mosque, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not there, but it was everything that I had questions about was answered right before me. I knew that there was something special about black people. I knew that we had a history beyond 400 years. And the darkness, it was like a combination of being in dark and light, you know. And, you know, the veil was completely removed. And this had never happened to me before. But all my life I knew that it had to be something better for black people than what I was receiving. I don't know if I told you, but I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, I remember the civil rights movement, and I remember the bombing at 16th Street Baptist Church, and the people would only sing about We Shall Overcome, you know, which I resented the song because I wanted action taken. But I didn't realize until I met the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that this had already been written, what would take place. And so it was so right and exact that I could not deny it. So I was fascinated, and I was hooked. It was like a junkie on truth.
Let me stop and ask the question everybody's waiting for me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Can the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stop the crime and murders in black neighborhoods?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you say that, a loose question like that, people won't, well, details, well, if it will stop it, well, why isn't it available? You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings are not able to be introduced to the people unadulterated today. It has to be sprinkled to the people because it's too difficult for them to accept. See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has a program that's divine. See, when it puts you in touch with yourself, it automatically forces you to eliminate certain things that are detrimental to you. I mean, you want to be in touch then with reality. And see, so most people who hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are hooked from the beginning, but it's like missing, if you ever miss a day off work, and you're not used to missing a day off work, and you end up appreciating that day off to yourself, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program is like work all the time, and the black man has been made so lazy and so irresponsible till he runs away from what's known as work. So they see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching is too difficult. It takes you to the Holy Quran, and when it says, had the gain been near, or the journey had been short, they would have surely followed thee. But it was too hard and too long, and they will swear, if we had been able, we would have surely followed thee. But Allah knows that they're liars. You understand? Because, see, our people want things that's quick and ready. See, they've been spoiled. As the messenger say, we've been spoiled and you want things overnight. Anything that you have to work for, you don't want. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching gives you reality, you know, and it brings you into reality, forces you to acknowledge the truth as you see it. So many people, for an example, If I own a liquor store and I hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad telling me that alcohol was detrimental to my health, cigarettes were detrimental to my health, pork was detrimental to my health, you know, he began to tell you what you can't do, you know, and you don't like that, you know. So you use an excuse to eliminate Elijah Muhammad. So you make an excuse up about, well, he didn't really meet with God. You know, these are the things that our people say. You start to take a negative to a positive. You say, well, I doubt if he met with God because I don't know God, you know. You understand? So those are the kind of things that we do. But in our opinion, that the God has begun to beat us so badly till we are forced now to take another look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So consequently, we have no other choice but to accept him, and the young people were deliberately prevented from seeing him.